Let's continue on with transhumanism in the Bible. And transhumanism is to improve human beings by taking genes from animals and mixing them together to come up with a hybrid, long-living human being that is stronger and bigger and more intelligent and that can come to the point of immortality. That's the goal of transhumanism. And we've been seeing what happened with Adam and Eve and after they sinned. Now, we also understood from Genesis 3 that part of the punishment of God's judgment was that they would die. And also part of it was that they were cut off from God. So now human nature was also changed to be very evil. Before they sinned, human nature was not evil. Now, sin and death became a very part of the human genetic makeup. Let's come to Romans 5 and see why mankind needs redemption. Now, as we go to Romans, the 5th chapter, let's understand something that's important. The Bible was designed not to give us everything in one place, not to give us all of the facts about everything on a topic in a chronological sequence. That's why we have to put together things from the Old Testament and things from the New Testament, rightly divide the Word of God, so we can come to an understanding of what the Bible is telling us. And one of the big questions is, why is man so sinful? Well, it goes all the way back to the sin of Adam and Eve. Now, let's see how the Apostle Paul brings this out in Romans, the 5th chapter, and how he explains it. And it tells us why all sin. Later on, we find in the book of Romans that Paul called human nature that's within every one of us the law of sin and death. Let's see how that came about. Romans 5 and verse 12. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now notice it didn't say one woman, because Adam was responsible for Eve. And Adam should have cut the situation off when Eve was deciding, well, I wonder if we should eat this. Oh, this looks so good. Oh, Adam, honey, I'm right here with you. I'll go ahead and eat of this fruit. And Adam probably thought, instead of saying, Eve, put that down. Don't even touch that. God said not to. But Adam didn't do that. What do you suppose may have been going through his mind? Since they had never seen anything die, I wonder if Adam thought, well, if she eats it, I'll see if she dies. Who knows? We don't know what was in his mind. But what was in his mind was not to follow God, whatever that may have been. Okay? So then when she didn't instantly fall over dead, and instead she says, look, honey, this is good. It tastes really, really good. Now, a lot of the sins that Satan leads people into seem exciting and fun and seem really good because there's a benefit to it. Well, that's the same thing that happened with Eve. So she says, here, you eat it. Now, right at that point, he gave up his responsibility as being the head of his wife, and making sure that he guarded the Garden of Eden and didn't let sin in. So Paul gives us the result of that as it came down to every single human being. And it gave us a human nature. And we'll see what that human nature is here in just a minute. Verse 12. Therefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and by sin came death. Wages of sin is death. And in this way, death passed into all mankind. So now we all have a death gene within us. We're all going to die. No one has prevented it. No one has come to immortality except the resurrected Christ. Now, that's another whole story. But that doesn't stop men from thinking, well, we can gain immortality. All we have to do is figure out how the body works. Well, there's one thing they've never figured out how to do. Turn off the death gene. Because only God can do that. That's why all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why there is none that can do good. No, not one. Now notice, continuing on, death passed into all mankind, and it is for this reason that all have sinned. Because you have a nature of death, and you don't have the Spirit of God, you have the nature of sin and the nature of death. And Paul later wrote, the carnal mind is enmity against the law of God and is not subject to it, and neither indeed can be. And that's the whole reason and basis for transhumanism. God, get away from us. God, we don't need your law. God, we believe in evolution. God, we're smarter than you. We'll figure this out. We'll give ourselves eternal life. Yes, we can become immortal. God, we don't need you. That's why. The death gene. Now, let's go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and let's look at the works of human beings in the flesh produce. Verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. That means you can see it everywhere. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to take Galatians 5:19 and 20 and 21, and I want you to write it down or print it out from your computer, and then I want you to, when you're sitting down watching television, I want you to read this just before you turn on your television set. And then I would like you to have a little experiment in television survey. Just do some channel surfing. And then I want you to go and watch some of these programs on National Geographic and on History Channel about how they have to handle hardened criminals. Because when human beings give themselves over to sin, and sin comes in many ways, all sin is sin, but not all sinners are in prison. All sinners who go against God and in this transhumanism to try and perfect and make man better are hardened criminals against God in their science and the activities that they do, just as the criminals in prison are hardened criminals. Let's read the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication. Sex is the number one problem of human beings, right? Yes, indeed. We teach it in the schools, don't they? In New York City, there's been a big furor lately because every evil sex act and perversion is mandated to be taught to 11 and 12-year-olds in school. With the excuse, well, they have the internet, they have their smartphones, everyone's involved in sex, so we've got to teach them how to avoid getting venereal disease. See, every evil comes in the guise of doing good. Uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, strifes, jealousies, indignations, contentions, divisions, sex, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such things as these. concerning which I am telling you beforehand, even as I also said in the past, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Take those verses. Look at them. Watch your television screen. If you want to do something very interesting, then do a little survey. See how many times sex is mentioned. See how many times adultery and fornication is mentioned. See how many times there are allusions to homosexualities and all the abominations that they do. Yet the world and Satan says, oh, this is good. You got to accept it. Oh, yes, we have homosexual churches that worship Jesus. Really? A counterfeit Jesus whose real name is Satan, the devil. God says it is an abomination. Look at all the murders. Look at all the hatred. Look at all the strife. Look at all the contentions. See? Are they not there? Think how that's programming the mind of children. Let's come back up here to witchcraft. Witchcraft, there are not going to be enough witches around to satisfy the people who want Wiccanism, which is the religion of witchcraft. Who is the most notorious purveyor of witchcraft and Satanism in introducing children to it? Who is the worst in the world? Walt Disney and the Walt Disney Network and production. It is all based upon Satanism, witchcraft, and magic. Next in line, Harry Potter. And you wonder why the world is in trouble? Now let's understand, all these works of the flesh were greatly multiplied before the flood. So let's come back to Genesis 6. Now let's understand that they lived hundreds of years, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 years. So they had plenty of experience. They had plenty of time for experimenting. Now, I want you to think of what Jesus said that we already read. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What are we doing with transhumanism? What are we doing with science? What are we doing with morals and ethics? Exactly the same thing. So were they scientific back then? Oh, of course they were scientific. Yes, because Satan was leading them. They were seeking ways to have post-humans back then before the flood. And if we are today combining animal and human genes together to improve the human race, Jesus is telling us that's exactly what they were doing before the flood. And he's telling us that our sexual mores today are exactly as Sodom and Gomorrah. And now we're teaching all of these evils to our children. And we add on top of that the sin of abortion. Now, there's some people fighting it. There's some people trying to turn the hand back. In Mississippi, they are trying to get a law passed which recognizes at conception personhood. And that is true according to the Bible. Let's see if it passes. But you need to understand one thing. God is going to judge this world for every heinous, rotten sin that is being committed in this world today. And the return of Jesus Christ is not going to be in a flood. It is going to be in power. It is going to come with destruction. It is going to come with death, blood, guts, and gore on a massive scale. Because human beings reject God and want their works of the flesh and want the ways of Satan the devil so that they can improve themselves to become like Satan and reject the way of God so that we become as Jesus Christ. Now, that's what's out there today. Now, let's come back to Genesis 6. Verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Now, there are only two time periods in which the human race was multiplying exponentially. That was in the days before the flood, because people lived long and had children, 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 hundreds, hundreds, hundreds of children. There were billions of people before the flood. Now today, it is multiplying because of so many people on the earth. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Did not Jesus Christ say in Matthew 24, because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many will grow cold? Yes, he did. We're going to see that's exactly what was taking place here. And we have to understand, there is no reason to doubt whatsoever that they were not working on transhuman cross between animals and humans. Multiply in the face of the earth, and when daughters were born to them, that the sons of the mighty ones, now it says the sons of God, but God there is Elohim, which means gods or mighty ones when not applied to God the Father or Jesus Christ. Mighty ones saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful. They took wives for themselves from all whom they chose. So they were experimenting with crossbreeding. Now, once you get a change of gene within the human genome, that is permanent and is passed on. So then, rather than trying to have test tube babies, now we get the gene in there, and then we have a human born with that gene male and a human born with that gene female, and voila, now we have a super race. And the Lord said, because they were doing this, my spirit shall not always strive with man in his going astray, for he is but flesh. And we saw what the works of the flesh were. And yet his days shall be 120 years. So what we find in the chronologies in the Bible after this, that human life came down from 900, 800, 700, 600, 500, 400, 300, 200, come all the way down to the time of David, and he was declared stricken with age at 70. And God put a limit on how old human beings would be, 120 years. Now, some time ago, the Japanese were looking at, they had the most number of people reaching 120 or above, over 100 and up to 122. So the oldest one that was receiving the age benefits from the Japanese government was 122 years old. So they wanted to really make note of this and have a, you know, news on the television. So they sent the government officials and the television people out there to interview this man, 122 years old. And so they got there, got in the house, and guess what they found out? He died 30 years before. And his family were taking the benefits for 32 years. So, as a result of that, what did they do? Well, they launched an investigation to find out how many of these 100-year-old people were really still alive, and how many of them were not alive, and how many of those of his family were taking the benefits illegally. Works of the flesh, right? Yes. But the point is, no man is going to live beyond 120 years. That's the limit that God has set, and all the transhumanism and all the gene exchange and all of those things are not going to extend human life beyond what God has decreed. Now, because of what they were doing, verse 4, there were tyrants. Now, that can also mean giants. But if there were giants, these were giants who were tyrants who proclaimed that because of now their modified human existence in being bigger and stronger and greater, that these were the sons of God when they were really the sons of Satan, the devil. Let's go on. And also after that, the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore them children. These were mighty men who existed of old, men of renown. So here we have a great super race. The best that man can offer, the best that man can do, going against everything that God had said, embracing all that Satan was revealing to them, developing and becoming great, and they were living long. How did God view that? Verse 5, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now let's think on that statement here for just a minute. What did Jesus say? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Are the thoughts of man, and is every imagination evil continually, according to Galatians 5:19 through 21? Yes. What is your life? What are your thoughts? How do you live? How do you view God? How do you react to the world around you that is the same environment that was before the flood? God offers you a way out. God offers you his way. Now we're going to see how absolutely hideous and terrible that this generation was. What happens when every imagination of the thoughts of the heart of all human beings on earth was only evil continually? Mix in their transhumanism. Mix in their human sacrifice. Mix in their every evil under the sun. Mix in there all of the high technology that we have today, because they had to have had it back then. Otherwise, when we come to the other side of the flood, as we did in Genesis 11, where God said, now anything they imagine to do will not be restrained from them. See, because they took the potential of man, those back then, under Satan's power, and to experiment with human existence, to create giants, to create madmen, to create great athletics. Don't you think they had athletic sports back then? Of course they did. Don't you think they were experimenting on how to have the fastest runner, the highest leaper, the greatest this, the greatest that? Of course they did. Because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So all the details that are left out here in Genesis, the sixth chapter, are provided by the reality of this generation. Now, when we come to the next segment, we're going to see the verification of this transhumanism and cross genetics. And what did God do about that? Well, I hope that this helps open your mind and understanding that the Bible is the best book in the world that gives us the true history of human life, that gives us the true history of God's way. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.